You're doing business in an app-driven, multi-cloud world. You want to build and run your apps on your choice of clouds, and you need to manage all those clouds as easily as one. With VMware cross-cloud services, you've got options. That's because VMware delivers the multi-cloud choice, security, and control you need to accelerate innovation, deliver great apps, and drive business forward. VMware, the smarter way to cloud. Learn more at vmware.com.
Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
Most of you folks get it. Most of you folks know and understand when and why I call myself the liberty-loving Latino. Some folks, even on our side, didn't get it. I think the other side got it right away because they have been trafficking in the strategy that I've been using. And frankly, folks, this is the reason why I do this and the reason why so many of my conservative friends in the black community and other Latinos do this. We have been beaten over the head in the conservative movement by the divisive tactics of the left. And those of you out there who say, look, we shouldn't identify as black American, African American, Hispanic American, German American, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely correct. And that battle you are fighting is great. And continue it, because I believe it is a unifying message. In the meantime, people like me will utilize the weaponry that has been sharpened, that has been targeted at freedom and liberty. We will use the weaponry targeting us, and we will use it against the left. So I am going to take this bludgeon that left-wingers so malevolently fashioned to destroy the United States of America, and I will use it to defend her. So when I say I am a liberty-loving Latino, some of you heard, well, that means you're trying to separate yourself from being an American, and no, that's not it at all. What I'm trying to separate from is those who CNN say represents Hispanic thought, all Hispanic thought, that MSNBC says represents the only way Latinos think, which is left-wing extremist anti-American kooks. When those like Kevin Jackson, my buddy from the Black Sphere, like Dr. Benjamin Carson, they seek to separate themselves from those who are in BLM, declared Marxists, there is an effort by them, by me, and by others to draw a clear and definitive line that the debate that is happening in the white community in America is the same debate happening in the Latino community, is the same debate happening in the black community. You've got anti-American left-wing extremists on the left, and you've got pro-American individuals on the right. And they know no boundaries of color or religion, no boundaries of race or creed. The debate is being had. The illusion put out by MSNBC, put out by the Democrat Socialist Party, put out by CNN, is that all of you people of color, you all think alike, you're all anti-American freaks. That's the illusion. And that is the illusion I seek to shatter. This is why, my friends, people like me, your liberty-loving Latino, people like the aforementioned Kevin Jackson, those who seek freedom over left-wing Democrat victories, why we are pariahs on the left, why they seek to destroy us. Let me tell you a fact. Every microphone, every platform I've ever been given has been by a conservative, has been either by a conservative or somebody who values free speech over everything else. And those who are silencing me, those who I've ever been victimized as under a racist attack, those who have attacked me based on my ethnicity and race, has been left-wingers. In other words, that's a roundabout way of saying the real racists in this country are Democrats. The real racists in this country are left-wingers. I'll never forget this. The former New Mexico governor, Bill Richardson, said of Ted Cruz he wasn't a real Hispanic because he wasn't a left-wing crazy person. Tried to take away his heritage because he wasn't a left-wing buffoon, right? Folks, the left wing, they are the dividers. They are the racists. They are the ones today viewing everything through the lens of race. Don't believe me? Here's the leader of the Socialist Democrats, Beijing Biden. Listen.
Specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie? What
do you see? It's easy. The reason I was able to stay sequestered in my home is because some black woman was able to stack the grocery shelf.
What you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
So there you go. A man who says, yeah, you blacks all think alike, but you Latinos have diversity of thought, although CNN won't admit that. MSNBS won't admit that. They only give platforms to left-wing crazy Latinos, right? They never bring conservatives in to spoil the illusion. That is why the Salcedo Storm podcast, the Chris Salcedo shows on talk radio and on Newsmax are the biggest threat to the mainstream press, the basket of biased press, because we blow up that narrative. And by the way, my friends, not that I am a trailblazer by any means. By the way, I have to make mention, the medium in which I work in was not blazed by a black person or by a Latino. It was blazed by a white man by the name of Rush Limbaugh. He was the one who said, get out there, give your opinions unapologetically, back them up with facts. And he revolutionized thought and opinion in the United States and emboldened an entire generation, not based on race, but based on what is right, based on ideology, a pro-American ideology. And I am proud to be part of that legacy. There, like I said, not alone. I'm not alone. There are plenty of folks out there who have taken on a similar mission. I am pleased beyond all get out to talk to one of those guys sharing our mission, and actually one of the smartest guys that you will hear. Luke Macias. We do a simul podcast coming up on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plan. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Did you know drag shows for kids are being normalized in Texas? Sexualizing Texas children is happening right now, and you can learn how it affects our state by going to TexasScorecard.com today. Get real news for real Texans.
Folks, as promised, a sit-down, a dual podcast with me, your liberty-loving Latino, and my pal over at the Texas Scorecard, Luke Macias. Luke, you're going to take the first question here, man. Fire away.
Well, Chris, thanks for sitting down with me today on a shared podcast conversation, which will get published on both your platform and mine. I really appreciate you, the work you've done in Texas. I feel like for a long time, we've been kind of operating around each other with an occasional conversation here and there, but really looking forward to just sitting down with you today and talking about a couple of the things going on in Texas. I would like you to kind of give everyone a little bit of your background and idea of how you got to where you are today with your show on Newsmax, with the radio that you continue to host. How did you get from Mr. Little Chris Salcedo to hosting the things you're doing today?
Well, first off, I think this is kind of historic. I mean, here we got a couple of guys over at Texas Scorecard with podcasts, right? And we're doing a simul podcast. I mean, this is kind of exciting. I don't know if everybody else does this, but we ought to do it more often because it's fun. Okay, I'm just gonna throw that out there right now.
I agree.
So that's number one. So me, as you can tell, I'm always eager to talk about me. Look, I started in San Diego. That's where I was born and raised. Back when San Diego was somewhat conservative, and I started out at a small radio station, a Class C radio station. Got into television out there doing weather and traffic, and then ended up being the main weather guy. Got a gig out here in North Texas at a place called CBS 11. And then when the Obama economy took that job, I moved to D.C., did a couple of years on national radio in a news capacity, and then decided, well, this is all, I mean, the news operations are increasingly corrupt, so I decided to start the Chris Salcedo Show. Came back and started out with The Blaze, with Glenn Beck's The Blaze. He was the first one to say, hey, I like the idea of a liberty-loving Latino. And he was the first one to see the idea of a conservative Latino host actually having a different perspective. And so he put me on the air, and the rest is history. Then we, KSEV, the voice of Texas in Houston, WBAP for a time. I left there last year. And then the Salcedo Storm podcast and our partnership with the Texas Scorecard. And of course, don't forget Newsmax. And that's where we are, television and radio in a nutshell.
When you start, did you always want to do media journalism? Was that really from an early age what you knew you wanted to get into?
Oh, God, no. No. As a matter of fact, I am a trained actor. I graduated from San Diego State University with a degree in the dramatic arts. If you watch Veronica Mars, you know the TV show Veronica Mars? There are two episodes that I appear in as, believe it or not, a border agent. One of them is called Donut Run. I can't remember the name. I think You Think You Know Somebody or something like that. I can't remember the exact name of the second episode. Two episodes of Veronica Mars, I played a border agent. That was foreshadowing to my Law and Order days as a conservative talk show host in Texas. And, of course, my disdain for illegal immigration.
When you were acting and trying to make it there, were you conservative at that point, or did that happen over time?
I was a kid. I was in my teens and 20s. I didn't know what I was. I think at bottom, I had a grounding in faith. I had an idea that I wasn't something. Some things in Hollywood just didn't sit well with me. When something was back guano crazy, I called it back guano crazy. And that seemed to rub a lot of people the wrong way in the acting circles that I was standing. But of course, back then it didn't stand out as much as it does today, because back then irreverent humor was king. I mean, Eddie Murphy and Robin Williams and those guys who were taking Hollywood by storm at the time, irreverent humor pushing back against the grain was welcomed. Today you get canceled, but back then it was avant-garde, you know.
At what point did you realize, I'm conservative, I want to talk about politics, this is something I want to engage in? Is that just as you started covering those issues more?
I think as I watched being in the press, I was in news for many, many moons. And I think that as I saw the press abandoning its constitutional obligation of being a free and fair press, that's when I started paying more attention to what the great Rush Limbaugh was doing, listening to talk radio. As a matter of fact, when I was still doing weather in San Diego, I got my first guest host gig on a talk show, the Roger Hedgecock Show, in in San Diego on Kogo. And so from that point, I think I was, I'd already been a fan of the medium, but it was at that point when I realized, hey, maybe I could do this. Maybe I could do this medium. And the rest is history.
So you are somebody on a national level that has a national stage and a national audience. You live in Texas. You still talk about things that are going on in Texas. And I think that that is one, something that makes you unique. I remember your monologue on Newsmax where you talked about all the power that Texas legislators are giving to Democrats in the Texas House of Representatives and the fact that, you know, we have this weird situation in Texas where the Republicans that we elect and give all this power to turn around and give almost half of it to the Democrat Party, who then use it to kill conservative legislation. So, to that extent, with a lot of our listeners, they are Texas politics focused, right?
Sure.
And so I think that some of them even listen to less national media over time. This is the feedback I've gotten from people because they say, look, this stuff is not stuff that I can tangibly affect as easily as these things right in front of me. I know I can get to know my state rep. I can figure out who my county commissioner is, and I can actually maybe try to accomplish something from a policy perspective in Austin compared to D.C. When, at what point did you start following? I know with your radio covering so many things locally, you know, I would love to hear your perspective from having these national conversations and the more you start focusing on Texas and kind of what you bring out of the observations you've made of our state.
It was a private conversation, Luke, I had with somebody I know and you know, a politician, a Texas politician who said to me, if we lose Texas, we lose the country. Mm-hmm. And this was some years ago, and it was actually repeated in the last election cycle to me. We lose Texas, we lose the country. The importance of Texas, and dare I say now, the growing importance, if not the prominence of Florida, is that these are the laboratories of conservative thought. So, and our adversaries, and they call us enemies, Beijing Biden, the occupier of the Oval Office, calls us his enemies. So who am I to dispute the occupier of the Oval Office? If he regards your liberty-loving Latino as his enemy, then I'm going to regard him as such as well. So on the national level, I think it's important for folks to understand and know where Texas is, because the national viewpoint of Texas is, oh, this is where conservatism is. This is where, you know, tumbleweeds and cattle and stalwart individuals who are staunch conservatives. And when they find out that we're under attack, when they find out that our enemies know that Texas is one of the last bastions, the holdouts of what America used to be, that's why there's a concerted effort to change things here in the state of Texas, because they're trying to eliminate opposition. So by bringing that attention, that there are people here in Texas who call themselves Republicans who are aiding in that endeavor to basically water down what it is to be a Republican, water down what it is to be a Texan, and just say, hey, yeah, we're all socialists, we're all Marxists, we're all supposed to get along and kumbaya. No, that's not it. And I got to tell you, Luke, I get more feedback when folks found out that Republicans in the state of Texas, their first order of business on getting the majority is to give away power to Democrats. They're looking at us now as if we have three heads. Nobody understands that. And as a matter of fact, it cannot be explained. It has not been explained at all as to why Republicans should be excited and it benefits Texas to have a one party win majority and have the other party take power.
It's one of the few issues where, you know, Chairman Matt Rinaldi, our Republican Party of Texas chairman, has been so out front. And I have to always give credit to Brian Slayton because he literally created this issue. I think it was so funny. I remember several months before the legislature last session, a little over 2 years ago, and we're sitting in a room and Brian Slayton goes, I don't want Democrats to be committee chairs. And then he just says, well, can't we just like put something in the rules that says they can't? And everybody looks at themselves like, why has no one come up with that idea for the last decade? I mean, for 10 years, we've been complaining. Strauss put a Democrat in charge of Ways and Means 1 year. They've put Democrats in charge of the abortion committee. They've put Democrats, Dennis Bonham put a Democrat in charge of all the gun legislation. Dade Phelan put them in charge of all the public education. And so we basically every 2 years, conservatives would complain about one committee. And then the Republican speaker would say, yeah, you're right. I'm not going to give Democrats that this time, but I'll give them education. And so then we just complain, complain, complain. And Brian Brian goes, wait a second, let's have a real discussion within the rules of the Texas House if we should or shouldn't do that. And now it's created for the last 2 years, this movement where everybody said, okay, we're going to talk about this. So
have you played the ad?
No, which one?
The ad, because you talked about Matt Rinaldi. And yep. Matt Rinaldi, and this is something else that a lot of people around the country are saying, wait a minute, let me get this straight. The Republican Party of Texas took out an ad in Dade Phelan's district.
Yep.
And basically said that Dade Phelan is not behaving as a Republican. Dade Phelan needs to stop these practices. And Dade Phelan's a Republican. How extraordinary yep. is it that the Republican Party of Texas came out against the Republican Speaker of the Texas House? And I said, yeah, it's extraordinary because you've got a guy by the name of Matt Rinaldi who's trying to have the Republican brand mean something, because right now it means nothing. Yep. It is a meaningless brand. And when Ted Cruz and John Cornyn can be call themselves Republicans, you know that the term Republican is meaningless.
So let's talk about John Cornyn. In fact, I haven't played the radio ad, but what I will do is in the show notes, we'll link out to it. I have shared it with a lot of people. I emailed it out to my email list, the actual radio ad, and I know a ton of people got feedback from that because absolutely phenomenal what Matt did. And to your point, it's one of those things where Charlie Guerin, Jeff Leach, Justin Holland, all these Republicans got really mad at Matt. And he said, look, I spent $6.5 million trying to elect Republicans to govern like Republicans. And now I'm spending $15,000 criticizing, basically, and I'm not even criticizing, I'm asking the Republican Speaker of the House
to be a Republican. I know.
it was controversial.
How outrageous. I mean, asking a Republican Speaker to be a Republican is now considered outrageous, when really the outrageous activity is after all the block walking, after all of the volunteering, after all of the money that Republicans and conservatives put on the line to elect a Republican majority. The controversy is saying, now I'm going to appoint Democrats who didn't win this power at the ballot box. Now I'm going to appoint them the power to destroy conservative agenda items. It's just, it's patently absurd, and it has to stop.
Yep. So you mentioned John Cornyn. I know you've been talking about Cornyn for a little while. We all have, but you have more so. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about your observations on Cornyn as a whole, and how do you think Texas needs to handle this Republican senator who's literally been elected statewide for decades, attorney general, Supreme Court justice, U.S. senator. He has sold us out time and time again, but his sellouts are becoming increasingly antagonistic to those to Texans' worldview.
It's spiteful.
Both with the gun issue.
Yep.
And now he's turning his gaze towards immigration.
Yeah,
and he has no intention of securing the border.
It's spiteful. It is nothing but spite. I think I'm hearing a lot of backroom chatter about what's going on in John Cornyn's personal life, which I don't want to get into. I'm not comfortable. It was second and third hand information, and it's really immaterial. But here's what John Cornyn has done. You mentioned the Second Amendment. He dedicated Texas dollars to these red flag laws across the country to take away our fellow citizens' constitutional right of self-defense. And he calls himself a Texan. So that was enough to get me off the reservation. Thinking that John Cornyn is an actual conservative. Then during the runoff, he jumps in the middle of the attorney general runoff to put his thumb on the scale for arguably the more moderate, squishy candidate, and not the conservative who has been trying to stand up for conservative values and the rule of law, Attorney General Ken Paxton. So, and he didn't have to do that. He went out of his way to do that. So then that was another strike. And the last straw for me was the omnibus spending bill. Now, what folks have got to understand about the omnibus bill, the Democrats didn't have the power to pass it themselves.
You're doing business in an app-driven, multi-cloud world. You want to build and run your apps on your choice of clouds, and you need to manage all those clouds as easily as one. With VMware cross-cloud services, you've got options. That's because VMware delivers the multi-cloud choice, security, and control you need to accelerate innovation, deliver great apps, and drive business forward. VMware, the smarter way to cloud. Learn more at VMware.com.
They had already taken their two reconciliation bites at the apple. So they were done. They needed Republican help. And all Mitch McConnell and all John Cornyn had to do was say, look, we're going to sign on to a continuing resolution that'll punt this until the first week of February. That way you guys can deal with the Republican-controlled House and Americans will get a better deal. We won't fund the 87,000 IRS agents. We will not send money to the border and then prohibit its use for securing the border. And but Mitch McConnell said, nope, I'm going to box out every one of those individuals in the majority that are coming into the House, and I'm going to do a deal with socialists. And John Cornyn said, where do I vote? Yes. Where do I sign on the dotted line? And John Cornyn, knowing everything that has been just harming our Latino communities along the Texas border, literally destroying them. I got a report today, courtesy of our friends over at the Texan.news, that they are detailing how there are schools being surrounded by razor wire to protect them from the onslaught of criminal activity, that John Cornyn voted to send millions of dollars down to the border to turn our border agents into Walmart greeters, and he voted to prohibit taxpayer dollars go to fund the border wall and border security. And for me, that was it. So I've been floating an idea to recall Texas Senator John Cornyn because he cannot be allowed for four more years to do the damage he's doing, Luke. He just cannot be allowed. And then some other folks around the state, the counties, they're voting to demand that he resign, which is also a good thing. He needs to know mm-hmm. he has no support in the state of Texas anymore. He no longer has the support of the people of Texas to sell us out. And if you want me to expand, I've talked long enough, but if you want me to expand on my idea about the legislation and the idea behind it, I can, but that's it in a nutshell.
No, that makes sense. Defend Texas Liberty PAC, which is a PAC that I'm involved with, did a poll. I mean, it was just several months ago that we did a poll of Republican primary voters just saying, hey, we want to know if you took somebody like Ken Paxton, who has statewide name ID, generally seen as a conservative Republican, he runs against John Cornyn, what do you get? And Paxton's literally beating him by almost 20 points. Mm-hmm. And then we said, okay, well, what if you put him against Chip Roy and Ronnie Jackson? We've got conservative Congressman Ronnie Jackson out in Amarillo, Wichita Falls area, and then Chip Roy. And again, the two of those guys who are literally just known mostly in their region combined are getting more votes than John Cornyn. And so you go, look, this guy's support in Texas is falling off of a cliff. And I think it's really important that conservatives and Republicans continue to talk about it because he is not up for re-election until 2026. And so it's really exactly. important that we actually get it right and get everyone on board.
Right. And you know what? I would love it if he would step down beforehand and Governor Abbott would do the right thing and appoint one of those conservatives to be a partner with Texas Senator Cruz to fully represent Texas, because John Cornyn represents Mitch McConnell. John Cornyn doesn't represent Texas. So, Luke, let me pivot to you, if I can. You got onto my radar when we started the affiliation with Texas Scorecard, and I started seeing all of your posts and all of your email blasts, and I'm like, gosh, I have got to get to know this guy. Mm. Look, there is a movement, and it started well before this. I remember Bill Richardson. You remember he was the governor of New Mexico, saying that Ted Cruz wasn't a real Hispanic because he wasn't a left-wing crazy person. There is a move to delegitimize those of us who are quote-unquote minorities if we are conservatives. I want to know how you've dealt with that your career. I don't know how it has been for you, but every bit of quote-unquote racism that I have endured in my lifetime has been at the hands of a left winger, never at a conservative. As a matter of fact, the only person ever to hand me a microphone has always been a conservative, and it's always liberals are trying to shut me up. What about you?
So I think I bring a unique perspective. My dad always said that where you stand on a subject is often determined by where you sit, right? Because we all have different perspectives. We come at this from different angles. You know, I had a dad who was raised by a patriot. And my grandpa, Laborio Macias, you know, moved his family from downtown San Antonio to what would now be considered central, but at the time was considered, you know, rural north side San Antonio. And he got a lot of criticism for it. He got a criticism for it because he was what people saw him. He was taking his kids out of what they thought was the right culture that they should grow up in. And they said, oh, you just want to be around all the white people. And my grandpa said, no, I want to help my children assimilate into this country because this country is a great country. And he was one who very at an early point in his life in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, loved America, right? So he raises his kids to love America too. He said, y'all can't speak Spanish. You can learn Spanish when you graduate high school, but in order to try to actually become part of the country, you're going to familiarize yourself and live and breathe the language that this country has. And so that kind of brings my dad into a unique situation. He's a college graduate, one of the first in his family. A lot of his other siblings also very successful in their respective endeavors. Why? I think one of the contributing factors was the fact that they actually were made to appreciate the country and then be part of the country, see themselves as citizens first and foremost. You know, my grandpa would say, you're an American, you don't have a prefix or a suffix. You're not a, you know, Mexican American, you're not a Hispanic, you're just an American. That's what you are. And that's what he would tell my dad. And then it's of course what my dad told us. So he grew up with this very unique perspective, knowing that we were Hispanic, but also really seeing ourselves first and foremost as Americans. When my dad was elected to the Texas legislature in 2006, he was one of the most conservative state reps in Texas. He served for 2 years and he was the only Hispanic Republican in the legislature at the time. The problem though was, and this is what's interesting, the problem at that point was that he was still not in line with the orthodox beliefs, even in the party, right? He still was seen as like this far right conservative. So Republicans appreciated him because he was Hispanic, of course. But even at that point, it was like, well, you're still really conservative. And, you know, we've got kind of this middle of the road thing going on here in the Texas legislature. So every time you're saying things and being a part of things and advancing ideas that isn't part of the norm, we're feeling some pushback here. So I think the same thing can be said for why the Democrats don't do it. You have all these minorities that say, look, you only get to fit the identity politics mold if you represent the views of the majority of the minority. This is an interesting case they made with all of our redistricting, right? Mm-hmm. So they'd say, hey, you're telling me you need, this is before we actually got to where we are today with redistricting, way better. But they'd say, hey, this district has X amount percent Hispanics, so it's still a minority district, but it's Republican. And so then they said, nope, it's not a minority district because the minorities in this district aren't minority enough. And you'd be like, well, why aren't they minority enough? And they'd say, well, they vote not with the majority of their minority. So right. Then it became, in order to be a real Hispanic district, this is what they were arguing in federal court at the time, you needed to have a majority of Hispanics in this district, and then the majority of those Hispanics needed to vote like the majority of Hispanics vote in the rest of the country. How insane, it right? Is insane. And so fundamentally, I think people do not like it when it's really not about whether you're a minority or not. We get this back. I was having this conversation recently with somebody on free speech, right? So the free speech movement starts in Berkeley, and it's these leftists that say, hey, we want to say whatever we want to say. That's what these leftists are pushing. They're sure. Not pushing for this virtuous idea of free speech. And so now you fast forward several decades and everyone goes, I can't believe it. Did you know those people at Berkeley, they're censoring people and kicking people off of the university? It's like, yeah, but that's because it had nothing to do with that. It just had to do with them saying what they wanted to say. They don't believe you need to say what you want to say.
Exactly.
So then they go, hey, we want more minority voices. And then you go, great, I have a minority voice. And they go, well, no. When we said that, we really just wanted these leftist voices.
Left-wing, right? Minority. And that's why I call them the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Progressive Colored People, because they don't give a damn what colored people who don't advance socialism, communism care to talk about. They don't care about any of that. So that's a wonderful perspective and very American, by the way. So
in Texas politics, real quick, I would just say that I think my other unique deal is that from the beginning, I've been against let's say, most of the established hierarchy within the Republican Party.
Good for you.
You know, when I got involved, it was running a bunch of campaigns against moderate Republican legislators. It was running campaigns against chairman of the Texas House. It was running campaigns against the speaker. It was running campaigns for more conservative senators in the DFW. I mean, Bob Hall, when he ran against Bob Dole in the DFW area, Connie Burton's campaign. So having run 150 campaigns, all these campaigns were for the most conservative people. And so honestly, people could have cared less what my last name was. Those in the Republican Party who didn't like me were, let's say, the establishment, the established order and hierarchy. And those who did appreciate me were conservatives who were really trying to be part of what I see as a growing movement over the last 10 years of growing influence within the party. And so I think that kind of brings a slightly different perspective.
Does the conservative movement, in your view, how do I phrase this? Will we see a divorce between the Republican Party and the conservative movement as the Republican Party establishment wants to become more simpatico with the Marxists, with the socialists in the Democrat Party? And we increasingly on the conservative side of the ledger, the freedom side of the ledger, have no political home. Do you see that?
I think I definitely feel it when people look at the Mitch McConnells of the world, the John Corners of the world, literally selling out the people that put them in power, the Dade Phelans of the world, who take that power that we give them through all of our votes and blood, sweat, and tears, and then turn around and hand a bunch of it over. I think it's important to differentiate, though, that and the Republican Party, because one of the things that we already talked about was the fact that the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, in fact, the Republican Party of Texas, is currently running radio advertisements in the speaker's district saying, hey, we expect our Republican speaker to be a Republican. And then you have to ask yourself, well, how did that happen? How did we get here? And we only got here with Matt Rinaldi because of 10 years of work that conservatives have put into the Republican Party. And it is the elections at the state conventions to the state Republican Executive Committee. It's electing the right county chairman. It's, I mean, my county chair here in Bexar County, a very Hispanic community, is a conservative Republican who beat out an establishment sitting Republican Party chairman in Bexar County. And so, and people like me who were not very involved in the Bexar County Republican Party 2 years ago are now involved. Why? Because now it is a tool that can be used to advance conservative ideas. So as long as we have the Republican Party under conservative leadership, I think that is first and foremost where conservative activists need to be looking and saying, how do we use this and wield this as a tool to accomplish what we need accomplished? Which is also why we have no problem opposing Republican leadership when people come out and say, I can't believe you're criticizing a Republican. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we don't have a problem doing that because I don't think you understand why we're doing this. The progressives are using the Democrat Party because it is a tool that they can use to accomplish what they want. Okay. And if they thought they could get more progressive policy out of a third party, they would do so. Bernie Sanders is an independent, right? But he caucuses with the Democrat Party. Why? Because he knows where his bread is buttered. He knows how the policy actually gets to be accomplished. And so I think it's one of those where conservatives have to say, until, you know, as long as we have some elected officials, as long as we have a party that is going to push hard, that's where we need to be putting our energy.
Let me give you a story on something, because I'm eager to hear what you think about this too, because this impacts minority communities, white communities, the American community. There's a story out there that Fox is talking about. The Virginia governor, Youngkin, is livid. It turns out GovEd there, they withheld the awards for National Academic Scholarship because out of something they call equity, because these individuals didn't fit minority status. They sat on the information that these kids had won these awards and academic scholarships because they were white and because they didn't fit the diversity model. So these kids missed out on these deadlines because GovEd said, well, you're not fitting into our outcomes-based outlook. In my opinion, the worst mistake we ever made in the United States was allowing government to educate our children. And so let's bring this back home to Texas.
Yep.
We have Republicans who are out there in your face saying, I am going to deny you school choice. I don't give a dang what you say. I'm making too much money on a side hustle. I don't care what you say. I don't care what's going on with your kids. No school choice for you. Yeah. Don't those Republicans need to be gone and gone tomorrow? And anyone who stands in the way of parental school choice, don't they need to be gone and gone tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it's helpful to kind of break down where we are with school choice. So Texas is literally one of the worst red states in America regarding school choice. We were the same way with guns, right? When we passed our constitutional carry 2 years ago, we all rejoiced, but we rejoiced in being like the 27th state that did it, right? So it's the same thing. When we pass school choice, if your Republican politician comes home and says, I'm amazing, I did this thing that 20 other Republican states have already done, some for decades, just filter it through that perspective. But Dan Patrick has been committed to school choice from day one. He has tried to push it multiple times through the Senate, and we are really well positioned to get it out of there quickly. And that's never been a problem. He's been committed. Republicans are committed. Attitude reflects leadership. That's the old Remember the Titans line. Attitude reflects leadership. And the attitude of the Senate is one of aggressive conservative policy because their leader wants to see more of that. And so the Public Education Committee literally today, the day we're recording this, got announced, and it is filled with education reformers, not just for school choice policy, but also a bunch, a long list of policy that teacher unions oppose, right?
Amen.
And then the dirty little secret is that for the last, really, ever since I've been involved in politics, but I would say since Joe Strauss took over in 2009, the Texas teacher unions, the liberal teacher unions, have had a massive amount of influence as to what comes out of the Texas House Public Education Committee. And Dade Phelan appointed a Democrat to chair that committee. He's one of the only two Democrats who voted against the partial birth abortion ban. Okay. So literally this guy's a pretty radical leftist on the social issues and other issues. He's pro charter school, to his credit. And he's pro a couple other things, which people use to always try to excuse the speaker. And then we have the governor. So a unique situation we have coming into this session is that Governor Abbott has been much more aggressive on school choice than he ever has been. The irony in that is that a lot of these Republicans that you mentioned, but let's get specific, even in the DFW area, we've got Glenn Rogers out there who represents Weatherford. We've got Lynn Stuckey, who's kind of out in the Denton area. There's various other members. But all of these legislators have opposed school choice for a very long time. They have voted in lockstep with the teacher unions. They've been endorsed by the teacher unions for re-election.
Oh, yeah.
But Greg Abbott went into their primaries and campaigned very hard to keep them in office. So he campaigned really hard to get all of these teacher union-backed candidates elected. But then a month later came out and said, hey, I'm going to make school choice one of my big priorities. I'm going to push it hard this session. So a lot of us are taking a step back and saying, look, there are not the votes in the Texas House today to pass school choice. They're not there. They can be there without any new elections because most of these people are pawns. And they will ultimately break if the governor and the Speaker of the House say, hey, we're going to get this policy done. If the governor goes into the Republican caucus and says, if you don't back school choice, I'm not going to have your back in the election. A lot of these rhinos who know that they'll barely get by in their reelection if Greg Abbott comes and bails them out will, I believe, vote the right way. Milton Friedman said, you can never elect enough good people who want to do the right thing. That's not the way majority politics, democratically elected Republicans work. You always have to create an environment where the wrong people want to do the right thing in order to accomplish the policy you want to accomplish. And so these are the things that you do and I do and other people around Texas do. We're trying to create an environment where we know these people don't want to do the right thing, but they sometimes will. Right. And so that's where school choice is.
Exactly.
Will Greg Abbott actually put his thumb on the scale and make the Texas House deliver school choice? If he does, it'll be a huge victory. And it'll be a victory that a bunch of Republicans deserve credit for because it was an environment that made these people vote opposite to the teacher unions that put them into office.
And after,
we have a ton of Republicans there.
And after after the China virus, man, I don't know how, after everything we've learned, what's going on with the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG, cultural Marxism, with critical race theory, the teaching of hate whitey inside of these schools. Mm-hmm. I don't know how anyone who is credible can stand in the way of parental school choice. Because here's the thing. This is the pays de resistance, as the great Rush Limbaugh used to say. That the school administrators are committed leftists. These six-figure salaries they're earning, the legislature has shown you can't police these school districts. Mm-hmm. You don't have the ability, you don't have the manpower, you don't have the money, and you don't have the willingness. That's the job of the parents, and it's wrong for you to take that authority and power out of the parents' hands. So since you can't do the job, Texas legislature, give it to the people whose job it is, and that is the parents. Mr. Macias, can you do me the honor of telling the folks, because this is going to be a dual podcast, it'll be heard in the Salcedo Storm podcast, and your podcast as well, Luke Macias, tell folks where they can find you, how they can pick that fertile brain of yours and get in touch with you.
Yeah, so you can go to lukemacias.com, and that's M-A-C-I-A-S, but you can go to lukemacias.com. You can literally fill out the message form there on the website. I have a lot of different listeners that give me feedback every week through the website, and I'm always emailing them back, so try to stay on top of all of that. If you, I'll speak at Republican clubs. I know you do that too as well, Chris, and mm-hmm. we get requests that come in through the website there as well to come speak to a Republican club about really what's going on in Austin. I was in the Capitol this week. I was in the Capitol last week. I'll spend different times with lawmakers, with groups, with people. And so I'd like to come talk to people about really what's going on behind closed doors. What is it that you're not seeing? Just this last week on the podcast, we talked about, the push to ban Chinese ownership of Texas land.
Yes.
And how we have a great bill in the Texas Senate. We have a kind of a watered down version in the House that just applies to ag exempt land and just certain companies from China. So you start to kind of dissect and go, here's where these different players are. Here's what they're pushing. And here's what you need to see.
Yeah,
so
we try
to bring that to people.
Yeah. I'm talking to Senator Kolkhorst this week, and it's going to be on the podcast in the coming days. So I'm looking forward. That is a common sense law that every state should be passing, by the way. By the way, you can find me at chrissalcedo.com. So, folks, chrissalcedo.com, lukemacias.com. Real easy to find us both. Two liberty-loving Latinos. Man, this was great fun. Thank you for the invite.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate you sitting down with us. I appreciate the work that you're doing in Texas, really trying to help people see what's happening. If we don't give them, you mentioned this earlier, imagine, I always tell people, imagine the COVID China virus hitting and no Florida.
I know.
Like, really imagine if there was no counter option. We would not have any ability to say, see, what they were telling you was a lie. Ron DeSantis gave every American citizen who loved their freedom an ability to say, hey, it could have been done differently. And if he hadn't done that, we never would have had that alternative. That's what we're fighting for in Texas. I feel like with what you're doing and I'm doing and everybody else is doing, we're trying to make sure that America always has a, nope, California did it this way, Texas did it this way. But we actually have to defund the diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in our universities. We actually have to tell Chinese citizens and loyalists to the Chinese Communist Party, you can't buy our land. We don't appreciate that. And so we have to take these actions every single step of the way. We have to get rid of people like John Cornyn.
Amen.
To do that. So, Chris, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure. Folks, I've done radio simulcasts before, but I think, no, wait a minute. I take that back. This is the second time I've simulcasted the podcast. I did it once with Cheryl Chumley and her podcast at the Washington Times. And so great to do it with our pals over the Texas Scorecard. I hope you folks can check out TexasScorecard.com, TexasScorecard.com. Luke Macias has a place there and has his stuff published loudly and proudly. So check him out. Also check out all the great stories big in Texas, meaning if they're big in Texas, they're going to be big around the rest of the country. And that's pretty much why I try to sing the praises and in some cases the detractions of what's happening here in the great state of Texas, because I think our fellow countrymen can learn from what's going on here. Also, check out ChrisSalcedo.com, ChrisSalcedo.com. You can track down the Chris Salcedo shows on KSEV, the voice of Texas, AM Talk Radio. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. You can also track us down on Newsmax TV, Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5, always at home on the Salcedo Storm Podcast. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth is not measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. See ya.
You're doing business in an app-driven, multi-cloud world. You want to build and run your apps on your choice of clouds, and you need to manage all those clouds as easily as one. With VMware Cross Cloud Services, you've got options. That's because VMware delivers the multi-cloud choice, security, and control you need to accelerate innovation, deliver great apps, and drive business forward. VMware, the smarter way to cloud. Learn more at vmware.com.
Amour, love. What does this word even mean? In France, it means wine, champagne, chocolate. Where does one go to find such things? Specs, of course. For the heart of Specs beats with wine for your Valentine, bubbly for your beloved, bonbons for your baby. Ah, Specs knows the language of love and how to keep your francs in your pants. Say enchanté to savings.